Psalm 100. Come, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Seed of wisdom,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, first of all, I can just report the printing is being done, worked on for the catechetical thing, but it takes 2 weeks, up to a month even, to get it shipping back. It's from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Father, seven of us have already gotten the course.
You have the material.
Yes, we already did.
Oh, fact, well then.
Did you want to correct these?
Well,
or what will we do?
Thanks. I would want to, but in other words, I just know the. Now you see, seven of you have them. Who does not have them? Who does not have them? Well, what if then that mightn't be a bad idea, because really this is, so the bottom line, as I've said more than once during this period of formation, is formation spiritually and doctrinally. And the spiritual, I trust that, you know, fellows are getting the sacraments and praying and so on. But the doctrinal formation is pretty definite. It's to understand the faith.
Will you go through the questions?
Well, here's what. I've never done this with any group. And maybe it's a year and a half in operation. The missionaries of charity that are taking the course, as I told you, they their superiors are in charge of each of their houses. And then the superiors have the answer book, and then they turn to their papers, and then they discuss. This is the format which they're following, and that's since June of 89 they've been doing this. What they do then is discuss their answers. They get their answers back corrected, and then they discuss as a community what answers they gave and why they were wrong. Or now I do not enter the picture. This is the system that I've been following. I do not enter the picture until literally throughout the world. See, then they send in the individual houses, turn their reports in to the regional superior. And there are three in the United States, and the regional superior then sees from the different houses, and she summarizes what where the sisters are, how they did, and so on. And then they send it to Calcutta. She is highly structured. Then in Calcutta, Sister Frederick, who some of you may know, have you ever met Sister Frederick? She's a Maltese. And his second in command to Mother Teresa was elected to that position in the September chapter. And then she analyzes, and then I'm in contact with her. See, by the time I'm in contact, she has gone through various people. And I would have to say that's almost the way it has to be, because they're just, you know, I'm involved in responsibilities that I've got that have to be taken care of. So, and besides, for you fellows, now whether it would be, and I am, now unlike the missionaries of charity, see, I cannot have to meet the missionaries of charity once a week. It's just, you know, not realistic. I do see you fellows once a week. And I should be home, Lord willing, tomorrow, next Wednesday. Now, next Wednesday, all day, that's Ash Wednesday, I'm meeting in Ann Arbor and people are coming in different parts of the country, having a meeting in Ann Arbor all day Wednesday of next week. So I think we should finish, because the meeting begins at 10 o'clock in the morning, and I should finish the meeting well before 7 o'clock next Wednesday. So, and this will really be the first time, if you people already have those books, does anyone not have them? You, Tom?
Mine is coming. Mine is coming.
You're coming? You mean?
Yeah. I just mailed it.
Because, see if you would do this, because.
Yeah. Mine is in the mail.
Yeah, okay then. Well, what if we do this then? Can we get going?
Sure.
See? Well then, my next Wednesday, and let's start very modestly, you might say, and just, does somebody have a copy of the large? Thank you. In other words, the first lesson is on conversation with a catechist, and then what is catechesis? Well, I think as a start, so we don't overdo this, what if there are 40 questions and they're down to earth, there's nothing theological about these questions, what if then next week, if then you fellas, is Judy here, Jeff? If then next week, do we have enough room? Well, I can make more room here.
Put a chair here. On this side? Yeah, I'll be over there.
Accommodated? Okay. Then for next week, since I understand, at least that most of you, because we should get going. You see? Now, what you might even do, Daniel, or somebody, you might even, if you wish, photostat, you know, the lesson one, if you don't have a copy of it, you see? Lesson one, which is pages 5 and 6, is just to get moving. That's of the question book for catechists.
How many of us don't have the catechetics?
Please?
I mean, don't have it.
Daniel, and so we get moving. Now, what we did is to hold up enough copies for you fellows before we went into another pinning. See, there are 4,000 in use right now. And then, if then for next week, because I should be freed up by 7 o'clock next Wednesday, Ash Wednesday. And just to get the machinery in motion. Now, as you know, this goes along with the manual. And the manual, what it is, it's, thank you. This is Conversation with the Catechist. It's right here. So, thank you. And see, there are four books. And these two jive, they agree with each other. The manual and the question book. And this is built on the sections. In other words, there are 36 altogether, 36 pieces, you might say, to the course. Your basic manual is this question book, and then this is the text. Here's the dictionary. Now, for next week, that's all, if I may then ask all of you by next Wednesday to have gone over that first lesson and answer the questions, that all of you, if you could all come. Is that agreed then? If you don't have your own copy, then get a Xerox copy down. Be sure that everybody has a copy, at least, at the very least, of the questions to be answered. Okay. Now,
did you want to make mention? Did you want to have us fill this out?
Bill, yes. Now, this is the question book that goes along. See, there were, you might say, five pieces of the course. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now, this you keep intact, the bound copy. This you use in each of the missions of charity has received them, five copies. Now, we're just starting, but we're starting as of then, as of today. That I would like to have all of you fill out, answer the questions, and I would suggest whatever comments you wish to make, by all means make them, but it would simplify things if you just in this question book just put down what you think is the right answer. One advantage of home study is that it means less work for the student. Boy, anybody says two for that. Flunks, I mean. Won't even have to ask any more questions. Now, they're not all that obvious, you see. There are no facts in history that we are required to believe as Catholics. There are no facts in history that we are required to believe as Catholics. Tom? One of the big problems of the church, the exegetes, one after another. Raymond Brown and company, you see. If you believe, well, you believe, but you don't talk about it as a fact. Christ's resurrection, you believe it. And then it's not a fact. What do you mean it's not a fact? Gosh. Is the incarnation a fact? It better be a fact. But see, what's happened is that the Western world, including the Christianity, has been infected by your Oriental thinking. You never question in Oriental religions whether something really occurred, whether Buddha even existed. You believe in it. It's ideas. People living in an idea world. That's what we call so much of what is called theology, theological fiction. So, anyway, if you then answer these questions, and we'll have to experiment because I've never done, you know, just what we're doing here before. Now, we've got only so much time together. However, it would be good if either among yourselves as Ignatian catechists, I did tell you we got clearance from our Jesuit superiors in Rome for the name, haven't they? Okay, sure. Whether you would then, well, discuss among yourselves, two or three of you, understand? And could be either, you know, physically, personally, or could be by telephone. Because what I've learned from missionaries of charity who are doing this, and that they do learn a great deal, from going over their answer, you know, what I'd be happy to do. And again, see, I'm experimenting too as to methodology. What we could do is just 40, I can just tell you what I think are the right answers. See? And then we could begin to discuss some of this among ourselves. But I repeat, now the first few lessons are not that, you know, theological. But some of these questions have a whole, there's whole theology behind them. And these questions are deceptive in their simplicity. It's not just getting the right answer. That's quite secondary. A person can get the right answer and be wrong. How's that, Lewis?
Yes, sir.
How could a person giving a right answer be wrong?
For the wrong reason.
You follow me? You see? Now what I'm doing, and Now, Lewis, you know, I remember last year we had begun this, but for a variety of reasons it didn't work. Now, what we could do is agreeable to you, but I've got to, you know, watch what I'm doing, time-wise. And I got two letters from Mother Teresa and two from Sister Frederick for the last 6 weeks on this matter. Because they realize that if they're going to teach the faith, they've got to know it themselves. Now, this is a synthesis. It literally is a synthesis of the whole of Catholic doctrine. So that what I could do, I promised that I would do it for the Missionaries of Charity. I promised that I would provide with at least like a 1 minute explanation of why, in my judgment, in some cases, it's not my judgment, it's just the Church's teaching. But in other cases, there is an interpretation, obviously, that I put in wording a question. But I promised Mother Teresa and Sister Frederick that then I would provide, like maybe a paragraph or two, explanation of why. For example, our prayers are more pleasing to God if we understand the meaning of what we are saying when we pray. True or false?
True.
Sure. But why? You follow the... Now, why? Now, the theological or doctrinal reason why they're more pleasing to God is because our prayers then have more what we call voluntariety. The essence of merit before God, the essence of merit before God. His side, he gives the grace. On our side, the essence of that merit is the use of our wills. What we do, not just voluntarily, because there are levels and levels to our what we call voluntariety. Well, I do a thing, whatever it is, with a greater voluntariety. That itself is a whole subject by itself. But we do things with more voluntariety or with as much voluntariety as our intellect provides grounds for our doing whatever we choose to do. You see? So whatever I understand better now wouldn't make any difference to me except, well, I understand it better. But before God, and this is our faith, before God, what I understand better provides my will with a deeper motive, so the more of my will is in it. What is can be, and of course I can understand something and not want to do it, but then I'm just talking about the relationship of understanding. Yes, that's the reason. Now, what the Missionaries of Charity were going to do, and I got work back to them, I said, no. They were going to, from their own meetings in different countries, they were going to provide their own reason for why the answers that I tell them are the right answers. They were going to come up with a reason which they think is a reason for an answer being correct. And could they, this is my request they made, could they then send in their reasons, and then I would go over their reasons and they comment on the reasons. I said, thanks. Whatever reasons you've got, God bless you. But you follow the thinking. So what I like to do, now we couldn't, I don't know how much we'll be able to do. There's enough here, as you can see, for months. In fact, supposed to be even covered, which would be extraordinary. 50, couldn't be 50 in one meeting questions. But even then, that would be 2,000, that would be 40. How many?
40 meetings, almost a year.
Yeah. Almost a year just in doing, if we covered 50 each time we met. Now, I'm thinking this out loud for you people because, see, we're working out a system. Now, I'm going to Chicago just for the record. I was in Dallas for a week. 90 days, to be exact, gave a retreat to a wonderful community of cloistered Carmelite nuns. And they really are following Teresa of Avila. They're a Mexican community that was, thrown out of Mexico under the persecution in a raid in the 20s and 30s in Mexico. And so they came as far as Dallas, and they stayed put. So they're both Spanish-speaking, that is, Hispanics, and others that are, call them Anglos, I guess, that's the term that is used. But they're bona fide. And while there, however, first of all, we told them they're praying for us, okay? We need prayers. On the way from Dallas, I stopped in Chicago. Today is what? Today is Wednesday. So all day yesterday, I was in Chicago. And I met the fellows that I wanted to be Ignatian catechist, but I know in Chicago. I'm going to be back in Chicago. Now, you fellows are welcome, by the way. Anybody who wants to, I'll be in Chicago. I'm coming in on the 15th. I've got to see the ear doctor. See, I have a hearing aid, and I lost the one, I think I told you, in New York. But then I had to have my ears examined. And I'm coming back to see the doctor on the 15th and the 16th. I'm speaking. I've got, I think it's a 3 or 4 hour program on Saturday afternoon in Chicago. Some layman is organizing it. And it's in the Dominican House of Studies, the Priory, in River Forest in Chicago. So that'll be on the 16th, and I come back the night of the 16th. It wouldn't be a bad idea if some of you fellows met some of you know Bill Fairman and John Andrew and others, at any rate. I want to get them going. So, and of course, I'm much closer to you people for obvious reasons. So before we start with them, I'd like to see how this thing can be worked out, so that any way that you fellows could among yourselves, if you know what I'm saying, go through these things, I'll do what I can. Bill?
Father, as a suggestion, since originally we were meeting a little later anyway, it might be possible for the group of us to continue meeting at 7 o'clock, and then you come down either at 7:30 or 7:45 after we have a period to discuss things.
You're welcome. You're welcome to do that. All I know is that what the Missionaries of Charity are doing, and by the way, obviously I encourage them to do it. Now, of course, they're highly structured, see? Because they don't have to come from different places. They are where they are. Fine.
So then what you could do at that point is conduct a bit of a class. If you wanted to go ahead and do this for the Missionaries of Charity, you could go through the 40 questions, say truth to this question, and give your explanation, and there would be no interruptions for that part of the meeting.
It could be, because the Missionaries of Charity, they do need it. You see?
And the Ignatian catechists could provide it to them. Tapes could be made available to the Missionaries of Charity.
You see, because in Calcutta alone, the number is around 30 catechetical groups the Missionaries of Charity have formed in Calcutta alone. So there are thousands of people they're reaching. And let's face it, you know, the reason why we started the Marian Ignatian Catechists is well to help catechesis. But not that you yourselves would be as involved in yourself in catechizing, whatever you want to do, for experience, that's good. But qua Ignatian catechists, you see, is to provide leadership. That's the terminology. Provide leadership, direction for others. By the way, I got a call from the USCC when I got back from Dallas last night. The Religious Education Department of the United States Catholic Conference called up and put a please call back. They want to know about our education material. Pray. Mm-hmm. So I told Martha this evening to get in touch with the party that called me. I did call him back. He was, you know, left him a message on his answering machine that I met with the bishop of Dallas, a new man by the name of Raman. You might put the name down, Charles Raman, R-A-H-M-A-N. Charles Raman. And today, by the way, for 3 days, they're having a bishop's meeting in Dallas, closed meeting just for bishops. Conor Rossi flew in from Rome for the meeting. He's there today. And of course, Dallas was picked for a reason, because it's a new bishop. And I gave him, by the way, two complete sets of this. See? He said, I'll keep one, I'll give one to my director of religious education. See what I'm saying? There's going to be work to be done. There already is. But you thought I'd better know what this is all about. So
then what I was thinking is, Father, is after you go through your 40 or 50 questions a minute apiece, there might be time for questions from the floor.
Even if we didn't cover that many, in other words, well, this would be ideal for me, because it's much better if I'm talking to somebody than just talking into a machine or talking into my hands where they write. Sure?
And then we wouldn't interrupt you. We'd just make the tape.
Because, you know, you realize, you know, my life is, to say the least, not my own. And party on the telephone, I said, look, I've got a meeting. It was 5 to 7. I said, I have a meeting. 2 minutes to 7. And I said, look, I'll give you a blessing.
And that, that,
so the party did not interrupt me. So I gave a blessing, and there was an amen at the other end, so then I hung up. Well, let me tell you this. People are really hungry for the faith. And hungry is a mild word. Sunday night, a priest, by the way, the name of, you might jot this name down, Richard Brown, B-R-O-W-N, Richard Brown, in the Dallas Diocese. And see this, I'd like to have you people keep in contact with people that, you know, that I have somehow am in contact with and want to do things, but, you know, when I came home. You know what I did today? Instead of opening my mail, because it would have been unwise, so I went to chapel, took my letter opener with me, and it took me an hour to open my mail. And then, as I looked it over, there are some of those letters that need a lot of attention. But on Sunday night, this Father Brown, Richard Brown, he made the retreat about the 8-day retreat. That's something for a secular priest to make, an 8-day retreat. Now the nuns were in cloister, and they give him the sacristy. Isn't that neat? And when he got a bed, they rolled a bed into the sacristy, and this priest stayed in the sacristy, and they had a washroom next to the sacristy, and he had cars. He would commute also back to the rectory every so often. He made the retreat, but he said, Father, we've got to, you know, do something to organize the people in Dallas. So I met with the bishop first, and Sunday night about 100 people showed up, and they got their names, and they want to work to promote the faith, you see. But we've got to have ideas, and we've got to not just, you can't be just thinking off the top of our heads, you see. I told them that I talked to their bishop, and he was certainly interested. He said, by the way, I've got I already have a Catholic catechism, which is good for, well, that a bishop is reading the catechism. So is that all right then? Well, fellas, what do you think of the idea? If we meet at 7, is that your suggestion, Bill?
Well, if we as a group, just the students, meet at 7, and then you come down at some later time, and that's open to question.
For the first time, let's make it 7:30.
Okay? That's what I was thinking.
See, 7:30. And see how it works, because we are experimenting. This is not... See, it's 30 years that I have been involved in what we call correspondence education, home study. Set up the Department of Home Study in Loyola University. Set up the Catholic Home Study Institute in Leesburg, Virginia. 1,500 college students. taking courses, and in New York. But no two home study situations are the same, you see. And now we had a university behind us. Well, simple for me, the only university there. I just write the course, and then I would never be the mentor, as we call it, for the course. And men or women, for that matter, would be hired by the university. They could be there, part of the regular staff, and they would get 50% of the tuition, which is pretty good. And then they would deal with individual students, as many as they could handle, 20, 30, however many students. Then, and that's good money when you multiply that, you see, times, you know, 20, 30 students get one half the tuition. And there are 5 million Americans taking home study courses on a college level in the United States today. Most of those being trained by the federal government are trained in this way. But no two situations are the same. You see? Is that okay then? Any suggestions? If then you fellows come at 7, then we show up at 7:30. Is that the...
Yes.
Yeah.
See? That'll give you a little bit more time to get back to Ann Arbor too.
Yeah. Because there's just so much that one human being can do. And their job, the ODC gives me, and somebody, you know, has to do them. And for me, once the Holy See wants me to do something, that's, for me, that's the will of God. And you fellows, this is the mind of the Holy See. I couldn't be clearer. See? It's Colonel Rutzinger, Colonel Tomko, Colonel Meyer, Colonel Innocenti. See? And the Holy Father, you know, wanted something done, because in mission countries too, some of these ideas, as you know, about, you know, the anonymous Christian, you heard about that, you see. Don't evangelize the Muslims or the Hindus. Let them be good Muslims. Imagine St. Paul. He died of a stroke. If you read some of the literature that's being published nowadays. You see?
Just one question on the methodology. We should use the loose leaf paper to write our initial answers down, I take it, and then bring those to class and get them corrected, and then write the correct answers in the bound version?
No, I would say that's up to you. Not necessarily. In other words, the reason for these two books was, and I'd say is, and this remains intact as a question book. Now this is, well, your workbook. And notice it's also just on one side. Makes it better, you know, the ink doesn't bleed through, and it's just easier to handle. And then, too, you put the answers up on your own. But to keep this clean. And the reason is because you might want, that you should want to share this with others, you see.
Okay, you can say photocopy it.
See, because then your purpose is to teach others. You get it?
Yeah.
You're being taught in order to teach others. You get it?
Okay.
In other words, if you think this is just for yourselves, well, I have to say it, then either you or I don't belong here. Okay? Not a course in, you know, in, well, updating or whatever your own faith is to then teach others. So then this is yours, obviously, so that for the purpose of your education to use this, and this I would, is yours to, I cannot quite say, to do with it what you please, otherwise I wouldn't serve any purpose. I would tell you, fellas, keep this, to use the expression, keep it clean, you see? Keep this clean. And then use this. Now you can make copies, whatever you want to do with that. It might, this is just a thought. You might want to make extra copies of these unanswered questions, you see? Just as a thought. than use one on which you answer them. Yeah, because it's easier to photograph this than it is to photograph. Well, you make maybe keep a master copy. You see? But to write down this. Now, that it really is answering your question, Daniel, about, you know, about the answers. I would provide the answers. Well, unlike the missionaries of charity, where the superior, you know, holds on to the answer sheet, of course, and they are told, but it's always post factum.
But also, as William mentioned, we'll be recording this, so that wouldn't do the missionaries of charity any good. They don't use tape recorders. But anyone else, I could collect these and send them to Martha. You could make this, if you wanted to later, you could make it part of that course. You can't be everywhere.
Yes, well, yes, I would say. Sure. In other words, our purpose, and I use the word our deliberately, our purpose is to know our faith and live it. And it works both ways. You know your faith better by living it. And you live your faith if you know it, because you're not just following just the harebrained ideas.
Would you want someone to transcribe your answers off of the tape?
It wouldn't be a bad idea.
I could volunteer.
Would you? And then, see, because then you'll be reaching literally tens of thousands of people. Because, see, the missionaries of charity are themselves, they are training lay catechists. I think I may have told you, fellas, did I ever ask you how many counties there were in Catholics in the continent of Africa at the turn of the present century? Did we ever talk about this?
No.
Yeah, there are about 400,000 in 1900. Well, then a number of missionary orders started. But given the very nature of Africa, you know, it's a tribal society to begin with. Of course, it's big. It's immense geographically. The missionaries that was formed in the 19th century, then working out of the 20th, they formed religious communities that were trained lay catechists. The White Father, just to mention one. And so that lay catechists then were trained in Africa from the beginning of the 20th century. The number now in Africa is almost 80 million. And this is mainly the fruit of lay, call them evangelists or lay catechists. Am I making sense?
No.
This is what Rome is telling me. Train the laity, but they've got to be trained. And the training is not just a lot of jargon, you see, in two ways, spiritually and then doctrinally. And talk about a mission country. The United States is a mission country. And it's harder, it's actually harder to re-Christianize a nation than it is to Christianize it in the first place. Because some of these clever people, they've got all the answers, so they're above the neck. See? And but also once they get reading, all you have to do is read. For example, McBrien. Is McBrien, by the way, does he have a column in the Michigan Catholic?
Not the Michigan Catholic, no.
Thank God.
But another paper.
But McBrien is a dangerous person.
I understand, Father, that you're in the Michigan Catholic this week.
Yes, he is in the educational supplement.
It's quite something.
Yeah. Please?
You're in the Michigan Catholic this week.
If somebody showed, I didn't read it, but I they called me up in the morning and they asked if I could write something on why Catholic education. Mm-hmm. And then I said, I'll have it in your hands by 4 o'clock. So I got a telephone call for the switchboard. The editor was downstairs.
Wow.
And I had it. I didn't read it. Why read it? Why Catholic education? He put the other title in, Eternal Life. That's a good reason, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, but there are two, and he wants to know, you know, if he can tie in more, but I don't want to press any buttons, you see. We've got the fixtures all set up. The lighting has got to be arranged. So there's work to be done. Tom?
I don't know if now is the time to talk about it, but I think there's some new members. Are you going to take them through the retreat?
I mean, other, say, I didn't hear you.
There's some new people here who haven't been through their 30-day retreat. Are you going to put them through?
Well, yes, it would be. In fact, it would be good. However, the fellows do make the retreat at the same time. Now, how many of you have not made the spiritual exercise, the 30-day retreat? 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Bill? Really, Tom, good idea. Are there any more that you could think of in the immediate future? See, because what I don't want to do is to have people keep coming in, because then, by the way, this is St. Ignatius. He would allow, this is his for the Jesuits, he would never allow more than one entry date a year, which makes sense. And he was structured, he was highly structured. First year, then and the second year, and by that time then this group has already been sufficiently trained. I would then ask, maybe by next week let me know if there are some others, because then I think we should close the door for a while. That makes sense? Otherwise we get things gummed up. If there are some others, I'd even bring them if you wish. I'd be sure that they're bona fide, otherwise we don't want to make unnecessary mistakes. Okay. What time is it?
7:50.
Okay. Please? 7:50. 7:50. 50? 50? 50? 50? 50? 50? 50? 50? 50? 50? 50? 50? 50? 50? 50? 50? 50? 50? 50? 50? 50? Is that clear as far as the for next week? Now, are there any questions? Remember, we had a chart. I don't think we finished even the first page. But are there any questions on the matter? Or? John, did you have some?
No.
And then, what if we do this? Let me. Now, unfortunately, I don't typically. Can somebody lend me their chart? And by the way, be sure that you get it back. And notice, we're calling a thesis. God alone, creator of the world, in time and with perfect freedom. By the way, I should say that Martha Prokop, he will be here. She's coming to Detroit this Saturday afternoon. Then she's staying through Wednesday of next week. And she'll be, we've got in two sections of the house here. There's one section for retreats and so on. So she'll be staying at the, in what used to be the former residence of the Jesuits here. And not sure, you know, good for her to be for our meeting, but at least us to know that she'll be here, because we are moving ahead. Things that need to be published, things need to be republished. And you know that I told you regarding Karna Meyer and the Ecclesia Dei. I should say, by the way, John, lest I forget, or ask you, are any of you fellows or others that are taking some classes in Latin? Somebody studying Latin?
There are two of us, Father. Well, really three. Bill, Tim, and Mike.
Okay. Bill? And this, in talking to both of the Carmelites, because I met them as a group, double grilled, by the way. And I also met with the superior. And what you should think of doing is planning a course in ecclesiastical Latin. See, they see the divine office in Latin. And I asked them, do you understand it? Well, they told me that St. Teresa tells us, that's Teresa of Avila, she said, if you don't know Latin when you enter the community, the Holy Spirit will enlighten you. Well, I asked, do you think you could help the Holy Spirit by learning some more, you know, vocabulary and syntax? So, and one reason, listen to this, one reason why the vernacular, as you know, replaced the Latin is that so many priests, how well I know, just did not know their Latin. Now, we trusted the Holy Spirit guided the church in such decisions as eventually Pope Paul VI made. But let me tell you, the present Pope wants Latin in the Catholic Church, and he wants it. And I would tell you fellows, get some Latin vocabulary into your system. You know?
Do you have anything else to add about Osservatore Romano?
About what?
About Osservatore Romano?
Yes, well, I think I told you that they are planning, and not just in the speculative stage, they are definitely planning, the Holy See is, to have the Osservatore Romano published, printed, and then published and sent and distributed in the United States. And this will be a great boon for the Pope, because you depend on all the journalists, you know, and whatever they what they do with the Pope's statements, you know what they do with them. Yeah. So, well, we've got about 5 more minutes here.
Yes, Father.
Okay. Maybe.
I have a question for you, if you like, Father. You talk about Scripture in Genesis, and you list the two accounts. I assume the first one, I think the first one is what's called by the Scripture scholars the Yahwist account. And the second one is called the Elohist account, because the one refers to Yahweh and the other refers to Elohim. Now, what does the church think of this sort of scripture study that goes ahead and does literary analysis on the Bible?
I would say, for this, if you would do this, do any of you people have a copy of My Christianity of the 20th Century? What would you do this? Can I ask you, Mike? Or somebody? And I have a chapter on Bible and tradition. And if you know the words, if somebody wouldn't mind photographing, photostatting the two pages, you know, on one page. And there are different printings of the book. The best printing, of course, was the original one by Doubleday. And Doubleday turned the copyright over to the Daughters of St. Paul. Now, they're still holding the copyright, but I've asked for it back, or asked for it, for the copyright, because what I'd like to do, see, is the book was published in the early 70s, covering the first 70 years. Not much has happened in the last 20 years, but nothing sensational has happened on the biblical studies in the last 20 years, so that chapter will answer your question.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now we've got to be, and this is a good question, in order to know, you know, where the Bible fits in, especially with so many of the Protestant depending heavily on the Bible. Mm-hmm. What do we do with the Bible? Now, there's a course, and what I would, again, not telling you people, but I have a manuscript on understanding the Bible. You never did any work on it, did you, Mike? See? It'll be about 250 or so page manuscript. But all I need is time. I took it with me to Dulles, and the nuns just didn't give me the kind of time that I thought I'd have. So, That should be. Read that chapter. You get a copy in the fellow's hands. Now, we were on part one, God created, alone created the world. Part two, God created the world with perfect freedom. And just for a minute or two, or a couple of minutes, I believe one of the most important things that we need to know about our faith is that we believe that God has two kinds of freedom. Did we talk about this? Mm-hmm. Now, it may sound like a contradiction, but there's what we call necessary freedom. And what we call contingent freedom. Now, when we speak of necessary freedom in God, we are talking about His own divine will. The will is used, obviously, among the three persons. They love one another. The very existence of the third person of the Trinity is, as we say, the possession of the mutual love between Father and Son. So that God does love, but loves within Himself. And that love is a necessary love. We may call it freedom, but then notice, this kind of freedom in God is not where God chooses among a variety of options. No, within the Godhead, whatever the three persons of the Trinity do, as three persons, is absolutely necessary, partakes of the necessity of God Himself. There is no change in God. There are no options within God. God is necessary being. Everything which God does within Himself must be done because He is God. However, and this is where we need to know what we're saying. God, however, has also what we may call, to coin a phrase, contingent freedom. In other words, God exercises His freedom outside of Himself. For example, God is free to either create or not create. Let me tell you, a lot of people, and this is a mild statement, they just don't even know the difference. So we better know that there's this second kind of freedom in God. Because otherwise, if we think, for example, that somehow the world exists, and God wants it to exist, but what kind of willingness on God's part are we talking about, you see? And everything outside of God, fellow, for example, was here today. Yuri, intelligent man, taking instructions. As we talked, copy of the catechism. And he said, I don't get this. You're talking about three persons of the Trinity, and then you're speaking of, one God. I mean, what gives you? So, try to explain as well as I could that whatever God does outside of Himself is always done by all three persons equally and simultaneously. But then it is done with complete freedom. Now, the only kind of freedom we know is the second kind of freedom, contingent freedom. But within God, even to use the word necessary freedom seems to be a contradiction. That God wills, wants to do whatever He does within the Godhead. But then, there's no question of God, see, the first person choosing to generate the Son. Everything within God, within the Godhead, is necessary. But outside of Himself, whatever God does, it's only because He wants to. As long as He wants to, for whom He wants to, as much as He wants to. And and to know that God is a free being. In other words, nothing ever happens by chance. Nothing. God's good is behind everything. Now, of course, then we have to cope with the relationship of God's freedom and ours, you see, and to have intelligent answers to the mystery that we face. How's that, okay?
Mm-hmm. Father, can we say that then that all necessary actions of freedom are those that terminate in God?
Yes.
In other words, all contingent ones are those that terminate in creation.
Outside himself. No, I coined the word. The terminology, contingent freedom and necessary freedom, is my language. You see? Now, the reason I use that language, but trying to explain it, is because we believe there are two kinds of beings in the universe. They are necessary. There is a necessary being who is God. And there are contingent beings who are everything else but God. Yes. God must be. And whatever God does within himself cannot but be what it is.
And the theological justification of prayer is the contingent freedom that's found in God.
Yes. In other words, God conditions his graces to us on our prayer. He foresaw from all eternity whether we would pray or not. And if he foresaw that we would pray, he will give us certain things that we have prayed for because we prayed.
Once God makes a covenant, that's the freedom for him to do that. But once he makes a covenant, does that change the freedom? That takes away the freedom, doesn't it?
Well, on whose part? On his part or on our part?
On his part.
No. No. It's kind of warm in here, isn't it? Yeah. But, anyway, I've got even a sweater on. Because I don't mind the heat. When I was your age, was I? Boy, I sweat, take my shirt off. No. In other words, God's covenant, and just because it is a covenant, is an agreement. And the Jews missed the point entirely. This, by the way, is the main reason why there's a war on today.
Can you explain that?
Yeah, could be turned off the machine.